Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. Please enjoy the following message.
We're obviously concluding our series called CSI. We've been going through the series called CSI, Christmas Scene Investigations. And so the first week we talked about the shepherds and the wise men and just the different aspects of their entrance into the narrative of Christmas, understanding that the wise men represented foreign nations, Gentiles, who were invited from way outside of the Israelite community that where Jesus was born, invited them via a star from afar. Some scholars believe they came from Asia Minor or even as far as India, and these were regal men who brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, gold representing ultimate value, of which they placed at the feet of Jesus' bed. They placed, meaning that that Jesus Christ represented the ultimate value in the universe. Frankincense, which represents incense, the incense of prayer and worship and adoration, which was, again, attributed towards Jesus. And then myrrh is, of course, the fluid that was used in preparation for burial, and so it was also to prophesy that this Jesus was even at his birth being prepared to die for the sins of all mankind. So there was the symbol of the wise men, and then of course the shepherds represented, yes, Israelites, but the lowest class of Israelite. At the time, they're not celebrated like the shepherds that we have here in Australia, where, you know, we revere our shepherds here, R.M. Williams shepherds, or for you guys from the States, John Deere. You know, in Israelite times, these guys were all ceremonially unclean because they handled dead animals all of the time. So you can imagine kind of the disdain in their hearts, seeing all of these people come to adore Jesus, taking sheep or various other animals to sacrifice at the temple, and yet at the same time not having the opportunity to go themselves because they were ceremonially unclean and were regarded with much disgust by the rest of the Israelite population at the time. To be a shepherd is not really a desired position to have. And so, you know, these were the types of people that God brought to the manger. And so he brings those who are outsiders into his presence. And that's the power of his love. Last week, we looked at the message, Get Behind Me, Santa, There's Something About Mary. And we looked at the awesome obedience of Mary. How many of you have a deeper respect for Mary after we talked about her last week? Now, of course, we do not worship her or revere her like some denominations do, but we do hold her example in high regard as an example of obedience to Christ. Imagining again as a young teenager being told that you're going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit and you will carry the Son of God and you will raise him up only to be crucified. For a young teenager, notice God selects those whom most people would overlook. She didn't have a degree. She didn't have, you know, any special accolades about herself. She was just born in the line of David, which is where we want to go with it today. And she said, you remember the line of what she said? Be it unto me according to your word. Whatever you want to do, God, I'm here. It's an honor to be that obedient. Especially when you see the way Jesus treated her throughout his life, right? She recognized the God in him. You know, so we looked at the example of when he was 12 and he was at the temple and they lost him. I don't know about you, but if my kids get lost at Westfield, I start panicking and stuff. But they found him in the temple and he's breaking down scriptures with the, you know, at the age of 12 in front of all these priests at the synagogue. And then he turns around to Mary and Joseph and says, don't you know I would always be in my father's house? Man, if I was Joseph, I'd remind him who his daddy is, I'm just saying. And he's a carpenter too, so you know he's got lots of planks lying around. We would make use. There was various other examples of that. So that's what we've talked about over the last 2 weeks. And then today we wanted to just really focus in on the generosity of God. And when we see the person of Jesus Christ entering into human history, fully God and fully man at the same time, we have and hopefully we don't, you know, and I know a lot of us grew up in church, so this narrative is nothing new to us. In fact, you know, a lot of preachers, they dread this time of year because it's got to rehash the same old sermons and it's the same old story. But I hope that you guys are catching with a fresh anointing on it, just the power of God entering into human history in a town called Bethlehem, the city of David, lining up his life to fulfill all of prophecy. Now, this scripture that I have behind me, Isaiah, was actually written over 700 years before Jesus was even born. And again, it's a prophecy of his birth. For unto us, everybody say us. It's not unto me a child is born. It's unto us a child is born. Corporate, okay? So we got to understand that I'm not the only one that Jesus was born for. He was born for all of us sitting in this room as a part of Every Nation Brisbane. He was not just born for one church. He was born for the whole body of Christ. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. Now watch this. A child is born. A son is given. So he didn't just come in the form of a child that was just born, because that would be historical, but he came for relationship. A son is given. Again, I come back to that verse in Romans 8 where it says that if my son, basically in vernacular, just using, you know, casual talk, if my son is on the table, everything else is on the table. If I'm giving you my son, my only begotten son, everything else in heaven belongs to you. Unto you, the child is born. For you, this child is born. For you, the son is given. Ephesians even goes on to say that he was the firstborn of many brothers. So he not only is a son, but he also is an example for us as we enter into sonship with the Father. Now, this is the part that's going to trip out a lot of cults that don't believe that Jesus is God. Okay, we're a part of the Orthodox Protestant churches or across the world. We believe that Jesus Christ was fully God and fully man at the same time. Okay, are you cool with that? Okay, because here's another part that kind of that kind of trips a lot of them out. This son that they're talking about will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God. Okay? The son is called Almighty God. Are you catching that? Okay, so Jesus is God, the everlasting Father. So at the same time he's the son, he's the everlasting Father, and he's the Prince of Peace. But I want you to catch what happens before this. And the government will be on his shoulders. Now that doesn't mean just Tony Abbott and the boys will be on his shoulders. But that means to govern something means that you leave the responsibility of leadership to whatever governs. Okay? And so I need to do this just so it will be embedded in your mind here. Okay? If you are in this chair, whatever you declare under his lordship rests upon his shoulders now. Basically, like this. I know you're never going to forget this example. So this Merry Christmas. This is me being ridiculous just for you to remember the word of God. Okay? The government will rest upon his shoulders. So your own personal government. I need you to understand this. So whatever you're dealing with in your own life, he governs it now. And it rests upon his shoulders. So whatever concerns, whatever worries, he's on the throne. And you're piggybacking, basically, on the authority that he has. It rested upon his shoulders in the form of not a chair, but a cross. He paid the price so that you will never have to be fearful anymore, never be, have to be anxious anymore. The government will rest upon his shoulders. So when we're reading all these headlines here in Australia about what happened, was it Monday in Sydney or in Cairns earlier this week with this mother of seven children? Some of us may actually think, you know what? What sort of country do we live in? I'm fearful. It's especially Christians, they're like, oh, you know what? I'm never going to talk to people of a certain religion anymore because, you know, they're affiliated with those people who have committed this crime or whatever. How many of you know this is the perfect time to love on those people? And to depict the perfect love that casts out that fear. Remember, the government rests upon his shoulders. So we're not fearful anymore because he's in charge. Oh, but what if you, and this is going to be controversial for some of you because you may not have signed up for this when you gave your life to Christ, supposedly. But what if, you know, but what if it, you know, affects what people think of me as a person, you know, if I'm affiliated with these people? The government rests upon his shoulders. Trust him. But what if I die for my faith? It's an honor. The government rests upon his shoulders. It's an honor to be martyred for our faith. But not in the manner of some other religions, the way they're martyred for their faith. We're martyred because we love and we speak the truth in love. And we're going to love the hell out of everybody. Are you with me today? And so it takes that sort of boldness. It takes that sort of boldness to be able to understand that the government rests upon his shoulders. Upon him is the governing of our worlds, of all of our plans. Notice his names. He's the wonderful counselor. We use that word wonderful for everything. Oh, that pizza was wonderful. Oh, the game was wonderful. The Broncos won again. It's wonderful. Some of you don't like the Broncos. Move then. Oh, the Warriors or whoever your team is. Oh, this is wonderful. That's not wonderful. Wonderful means to be full of wonder, miraculous wonder. Wonderful counselor. Okay, I don't know about you if you've ever been to a counseling session. I love going to counseling sessions and I love being a part of counseling sessions. But most of them aren't filled with wonder. Filled with advice, filled with wisdom. But like when you go to Jesus for his counsel, it's full of wonder. It's full of miraculous wisdom that's like, wow, I never would have thought of that. That's exactly right because it's full of wonder. I'm the wonderful counselor. So the wonderful counselor, he's the mighty God. Other versions say he's the almighty God. He's omnipotent. He's powerful. He's all powerful. How's it going? Mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. I want you to remember from last week, remember Mary was confronted with the angel and the angel said that the son you're going to have, the government that he will have will be no end. She recognized this prophecy from 700 years before her giving birth to Jesus. And so she knew, wow, this is the guy Isaiah was talking about. His government, there will be no end to his governing. No end. That doesn't mean just with regards to history. That means also no end to in terms of his ability to provide. His financial capability has no end. There's no end to his power. That's the God that's governing your heart, guys. I hope you're catching this. That's the God that lives inside of you. He's full of wonderful counsel. He's almighty. He's all-powerful, so anything that you're facing, he's much more mighty than that. I mean, it's amazing how we will get a bill, a phone bill from Telstra or Optus, because I know we've got people that work for certain companies, so I'll throw it all across the line. We get a bill, and we think the bill is stronger than our God. He's almighty God. And we get a little bit of a flu, and God is like the last option. Oh, I tried this medicine, went to this doctor, so I guess the last thing I can do is pray. Should be the first thing you do. He's Almighty God and He lives inside of you. That's the power of what happened 2,000 years ago, is that that God became flesh and died for us 33 years after He was born. That's that God. He lives inside of you now. Holy Spirit is inside of you. The Prince of Peace. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. It's going to happen, and it is happening. Now, of course, we want to move as we close to the most popular scripture in all of the Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him — do we have any believers in here today? — whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world in order that the world might be saved through Him. Another version says that God did not send His Son to condemn the world, but He sent His Son to save the world. It's amazing how, as followers of Christ, you know, as believers who have believed in Him, not perish but have everlasting life. And then the next verse talks about He didn't come to condemn it, and yet we spend a lot of time as Christians across the body of Christ condemning people. Like, most non-Christians know more about what we're against rather than what we're for. We're against, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be against those things. I think we should be against the things that the Bible says are clearly sin. But how many of them know that the agape love of Christ that we should be depicting and pouring? Let me put it to you this way. Why are there still homeless in Brisbane when the church is supposed to be for them not being homeless? It's our responsibility as the church, not just this church, but across the body of Christ. The problem is, guys, is that within the body of Christ, we find a lot of churches, a lot of pastors, a lot of leaders becoming more empirical rather than kingdom-minded. They build themselves empires rather than build His kingdom. They become fearful and territorial because they're not willing to build relationship across the body of Christ. And they'd much rather, you know, it's just me building up the Nelly Uttingham Ministries. Watch me on ACC TV, you know, I'll take all 2 hours and sit on a gold couch and just, you know, God's so good. If you send your money now, I'll send you my handkerchief made of tapa, because I'm an islander, you know, for $4.99, and I'll send you a holy bottle of water from the Brisbane River. Drink it and you will be sick, and then you come here and I'll heal you. You know, just... We become very territorial around our own thing. And this is the problem, is that there's these churches, you know, focused on numerical growth, and numerical growth is good, but when you compare it to the size of your city, thousands is nothing compared to millions. The way I look at it, I mean, looking in this room, and you know, in general, we have anywhere between around 70 to 80 adults now that call Ian Brisbane home, which is awesome for a church that's only been going for 2 years. In this city, it is. And I praise God for that. And it's good. It is going to grow. But I'm not as worried about the growth in here as I am about the decline of sinlessness outside of the four walls of the church, where we are reaching and we are impacting. We are seeing a decline in single mothers. We are seeing a decline in the crime rate. We are seeing a decline in prostitution in our city. We're seeing a decline in all of that. Because that's when the church does what really matters. We've come to save it, not to condemn it. But it's going to take a people that won't mind getting their hands dirty. That won't mind understanding that God firstly got His hands dirty. You've got to understand the culture of heaven. Angels surrounding heaven 24/7, holy, 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 worship happening all the time, and you are sitting there receiving all of this worship. I mean, your streets, go outside and look on the street out here in Newmarket. None of them are made with gold. That's the stuff the streets are made of. At best, we'll get a little bit on our teeth, but we won't get much gold, you know. Maybe a little bit of a half a gold chain, you know, but we won't get — the gold is made of, you know, the stuff that the dogs walk on is made of gold. I don't know if there are dogs in heaven. That's up to you, your theology. I'm dyslexic. Dog, God, I don't know. But here's the thing, guys. The main point of what I want to bring to you is that he left that culture to enter this culture. And the way he entered this culture, which was what we celebrate on Christmas Day, is by going to a place. And again, we talked about Bethlehem and Nazareth. Nazareth is a small town that it's not famous for anything at all. You walk in, cough a couple of times, and then you walk out of the town. That's how small it is. It was not significant. And yet within the city of Nazareth and in the city of Bethlehem, the city of David, they couldn't find a place to stay. I mean, even the hotels that were half a star couldn't even find a garage to put him in. Oh, sorry, man. You know, they couldn't find a place to put him in. And so remember, the God of the universe, adored by angels and, you know, streets of gold, came into the earth, born in a cave, surrounded by donkeys, pigs and sheep and other animals, full of stench. You want to talk about cross-cultural missions. Jesus knows a little bit about that. And knowing fully well that his destiny was to perish so that we would not have to perish but have eternal life. For God, you could take any one of these words. Check this out. And I know all of you, if not most of you, know this verse. You can emphasize any one of those verses, any one of those words in that verse, verse 16, and do a Bible study on it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. I mean, you take each one of those phrases, there's so much power in the way that he gives. But here's what I want to bring to you as you're coming to Christmas. There's no one that can outdo the generosity of your God. No one comes close to outdoing the generosity. And here's the thing, guys. If you want to grow, I mean, how many of us in this room, in all honesty, as followers of Christ, want to be more generous? I think all of our hands would go up. But we should not look at generosity as a task, but ask for more of God's generosity in our hearts. Because it's God's generosity and having the grace to be that generous to the point where you will lay down your life for a friend. It's easy to lay down your life for people that you know and love. But to lay down your life for the city, to lay down your life for your campus, for your university students, to say, you know what? I'm here not just to get my degree and bounce and leave. I'm here to get my to take this opportunity to see this campus as my mission field. All of you who are in workplaces should see that opportunity. To seize that opportunity, to see your mission field. And you know, I love it because I was talking about it with Norm last night. I love it because he's mobile. He's out on the street driving around the Gold Coast. See, even those streets aren't gold, even though it's called the Gold Coast. But he's driving around going like, this is my opportunity. Come on, Ian Gold Coast, we're coming. But, you know, it's just driving around there going, you know, Lord, I want to give because you gave. And just let me seize every opportunity. It might be Alex, you know, working as a barista, you know, making coffees for people and just seizing the opportunity. He's not just there to make coffee, he's there to change lives. It's just seizing that opportunity to ask God, God, how can I be that generous the way that you were generous on the first Christmas that we celebrate? It's not about the stuff that the malls are trying to shove down our throats. Forget 50% off. But it's understanding, man, you know what? I'm in the city. I am whether you're born here or you're here, you know, on a contract, or you're here just until Jesus tells you that you're not supposed to be here. But it's got to go beyond your own four walls, guys. You know, I look over at Andrew and Nick, and they've just had young baby Francis. Let's give them a round of applause. Welcome, baby Francis, to the family. Now, it's easy to see, you know, Francis and you see Auro, and they're beautiful kids. And, of course, Andrew sees, you know, when I see Andrew around the babies, he's just melts a little bit, you know. He kind of goes Benjamin Button and kind of shrinks, you know. oh, man, it's so cute. You know, because generally he's walking around tough. But he's around his babies because he would easily give his life for his babies. It's not just the responsibility of a father. It's easy to do because it's easy to love them.
Sometimes.
When you get much sleep. But then when, you know, my point is it's easy to love those within your vicinity that you have. But, you know, God is calling us as a church to go beyond ourselves, beyond the four walls of our home, beyond the four walls of this church, and love this city into the kingdom. Just love them hard. You know, I've been asked this question probably the most this week. Pastor Nelly, what's your vision for 2015 for Ian Brisbane? It's the same, man. We're just going to, like, love hard and make disciples. That's all it is, man. We're just going to make disciples, and we're going to love this city into the kingdom. And it's going to be the same every year. So don't ask me in 2016, what's the vision for 2016? Love hard, love God hard, and make disciples. Love God, love people. Just the same every year. And that's what's going to change. But it's going to have to start with us in our own heart. Amen. So I'm praying that you will see God's generosity towards yourself this Christmas, and that hopefully out of the overflow of that generosity, it would flow out of your spirit all over the streets of Brisbane or Oklahoma, wherever you're coming from or going to. My English, need to work on it. Let me pray for you. Now, let's all stand to our feet today. Just as we close, guys, again, I don't want to prolong this too much, but I wanted to give everybody in here an opportunity just to at least respond and just declare, God, you've given your all, so I want to give my all in response to all you've done for me. And let the government of my life rest upon your shoulders. I mean, I know you're going to take care of me. You are my Prince of Peace. You are my Almighty God. You are my Everlasting Father. You are my Wonderful Counselor. And so I put my trust in you. And so as you're desiring to do that today, can you just lift your hands and surrender to Him? Only if that's you, and just declaring that afresh. I'm giving my all because you've given you all. Lord, in Jesus' name, you see all these hands that are raised. For whatever it means to us, God, we want to declare today, as we give our all in response to what you've already given, there's nothing that we could do that lines up with your generosity. I mean, we'd be kidding ourselves if we could even come close to repay all that you paid for us on Calvary. And so today, Lord, we declare with open hearts and open lives that we give our hearts afresh to you. We give our lives afresh to you. Have your way. Have your way in our lives. Expose the parts of our hearts, the parts of our lives that are not quite under your lordship, God. And we just submit our ways. We submit our lives in exchange for yours. And we just declare this Christmas will be our most fruitful. Our most fruitful in seeing people come to know you. Seeing people's lives change, Lord, take us beyond ourselves towards you. In Jesus' name, let me just pray for those. If there's anybody in here who needs a special touch from Jesus with regards to his peace, because I just sense there's all sorts of turmoil in some minds and some hearts today, really not knowing how God's going to work things out. If that's you today, again, just can I get you to lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Lord, for those in this room that are really in need of your peace, we declare that you are our Prince of Peace. So, Father, we just pray that you would come and reign in our hearts. Let your peace that transcends, that is way above all of our understanding, guide our hearts and minds in you right now. Lord, let every ounce of anxiety just begin to evaporate from our minds and our hearts. We just declare your freedom. Where your spirit is, there is liberty. Where your spirit is, there is freedom. We thank you for that freedom today. Our Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Everyone said amen. Amen. Let's give him praise today. Here it is, guys. Last challenge for all of you who are going to be here for Christmas. I really want to encourage all of you who are going to be here for Christmas. to make sure that the people around you, there's a lot of like, there's a lot of homeless, there's a lot of even like international students, there's a lot of people who are here and don't have their family here for Christmas. See this as an opportunity just to make your home a home for them as well during this Christmas. Be spirit led in all of it, of course. You know, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Don't invite nasty, you know, I don't want to get you. Oh, Pastor said to invite this criminal. You know. But just exercise wisdom. But I really want to encourage all of you just to make your home a home for those who don't have a home to celebrate Christmas. It's a great opportunity to preach the gospel. All right, y'all, you are dismissed. If you want to join us upstairs at ICC, I want to send a shout out to my brother Julian, who's at the back there. He's the worship pastor from upstairs. They've been so generous to lend their venue to us over this month. So kind of in turn to them, I'm going to go preach and lead worship with them. And so if you want to join us afterwards, if you've got nothing to do, at 6 p.m. upstairs, it would be cool to have you. God bless you all. You're dismissed. It's a prayer and healing service, so it's going to be powerful. Powerful. You're dismissed.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.